I'd given all of the knowledge that I had, and I was finished. And I still don't have any more knowledge. It takes me just longer to say it. Amen. Ecclesiastes, I'm giving you time to find it. Page 690 in my Bible. If you found the book of Song of Solomon, you're close, all right? Close. If you're in the book of Psalms, you're close. Remember now, verse number one. Remember now. If you circle words, I'd encourage you to circle the word now. Not later, now. Remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Jump on down with me to verse number 8. It says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. The word vanity means emptiness or empty pleasure. Emptiness or empty pleasure. Verse number 13. The Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You want to know what God wants you to do? There it is in one verse. And then it tells you the why. Why? Verse number 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The name Ecclesiastes indicates the preacher or the philosopher. Solomon often referred to himself as the preacher, the philosopher. This book, Ecclesiastes, contains the philosophy of Solomon as his mind was in conflict over the problems of life. He had asked God in the book of Kings to give him wisdom, and God did. God gave great riches and rewards and wisdom. But Solomon took most of that and lived much of his life in emptiness and vanity, seeking the things of the world. And he's writing this book now, and he's looking back. In fact, the word vanity is used in the book of Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters, 37 times. He says emptiness. At this point in his life, he's still probably one of the wealthiest men in the world. And he says, it's empty. This book shows us that the world cannot satisfy us. It's got to be something else. It's got to be something more. Many people returned to work last Tuesday. Their stomachs were full. They'd had a time with family, whether it be good or bad. They'd received gifts, perhaps thinking, I've got to go back to work because I spent too much money on Christmas. But I fear that the overwhelming emotion for many was emptiness. Just empty. A lost person is empty because they have no purpose, no aim in life. They're empty. For the first part of my life, I spent it growing up in Florida. We're about an hour away from Disney World. As a child, my family took us to Disney World, and as a teenager, we went. As Tina and I got married, we went. Our children were young, we went. Probably been to Disney World 50 or 60 times or more. One of the comments we made as we got older, we looked around, we noticed thousands of people milling around. The Magic Kingdom is supposed to be declared the happiest place on earth. But you know what you don't see? A whole lot of smiles. There's a temporary happiness, temporary joy, but the majority of people, they come to the happiest place on earth and they realize this isn't meeting all of my needs. Have you ever done something and when you really look forward to it and as you were doing it and you got finished, there was like, oh. You know, just, it was good, but it wasn't really what I was looking for. You know why? Because we're not created for this world. Only Jesus can truly satisfy. And we'll never meet that total satisfaction until we stand in His presence in heaven. But until then, there are some things that we can do. There are some vital truths here. Verse number one challenges us with the first thought today. Amber, I don't know if my thing is functioning. Oh, there it goes. Number one, if you take notes today, I'd encourage you to write down this. Remember our Creator. Remember our Creator. The word remember, I love looking up words. You know why? Because I don't know what they mean or I think they do. Have you ever looked up a word and you thought, that's not what I thought it meant? Words mean things. Solomon says, remember. The word remember means to bear in mind with reverence. To bear in mind with reverence. The man or woman who is filled with vanity or emptiness has forgotten his Creator. The Bible says in Romans, it said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Sometimes a Christian will go so far into sin that they will forget the things of God. Peter writes these things. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his sin. Sometimes we get to a place in our life and we just tend to forget about God. Solomon is writing toward the end of his life now, and he says, remember. Remember thy Creator. As His people, we should remember Him each day. The Word of God says in Psalms, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My soul longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. When I remember Thee upon my bed. So early in the morning, we ought to remember God. Early in the morning, we ought to seek God. And He says, in my bed, later on, He says, when I remember Thee, I'll meditate on Thee on the night watches. You want to know what we ought to do with our lives? We need to remember God in the morning and in the evening and probably throughout the entire day. Remember. Maybe 2023 was a time where you've decided, I'm going to begin to read my Bible. Maybe you have a Bible reading plan. Maybe you have a daily journal and it's already day number 8 and you've missed a couple days. Possibly, that's fine. You say, what do I do? Start again. Start again. We need to remember Him. Set aside time to study the Bible. Get a good dictionary. Look up the words. Find out what they mean. Study the Bible. Read the Word of God. Stay in church. Come for Sunday school. If you come Sunday morning but you don't come to Sunday school, well, come to Sunday school. If you come to Sunday school on Sunday morning, then come back Sunday night. You say, but I come Sunday night, and I come for Sunday morning, and I come for Sunday school. Well, that's great. Come for Sunday school on Sunday morning and Sunday night and then Wednesday night. You said, then what I do? You come back the next week, Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Sunday night. I'm going to tell you, if you instigate or desire 3 services a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you'll see your life changing. I promise you. I promise you. God will change your life. He'll change your life if you study the Bible. This book is different. We need to remember our Creator each day in Bible study. The psalmist writes, David, the son of Solomon, the father of Solomon, said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Paul tells young Timothy. Timothy was an aspiring pastor. And he told him, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Maybe we as believers, we need to cry out, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Did you go days in 2022 without reading your Bible? Have you gone days in 2023 without it? If you have, then start again. You say, well, I've never started. Well, start. Begin. now. Remember now. Start now. No diet is ever kept that has started on Monday. A diet is kept when it started today. A new habit is started and kept when it started now. In prayer. Remember Him every day in prayer. The Psalms says this in Psalm 86:3. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily." Pray without ceasing. He spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I remember when I was in Bible college, one of my Bible college professors, that's been about almost 30 years ago, one of my Bible college professors said, the illustration for pray without ceasing. Now see, many will not understand this because they grew up in the era of cell phones. Amber was telling us about her class. She teaches sixth grade. And how many of you remember, this is how you demonstrate answering the phone. How many of you know that? All right. You know what our younger generation do? Weirdos. Really? They don't even know. How many of you remember when phones had wires? Wires, right? Right? How many of you remember before they become, you know, battery operated cordless, and if you were going to talk to somebody, you took the phone and you kind of rested it like this and you walked around doing all the stuff you were doing, right? And you probably had that one phone that had a really long cord on it. I had one when I was a teenager that had a really long cord on it, and I talked to Tina, and it was our kitchen phone, and I would go around the corner and into the guest bedroom and close the door and sit on the floor and talk to her. That cord was about 19 feet long. It probably started out about 8, but you keep stretching it, right? But, you know, you put that phone there, and you can keep on doing other things. You know, maybe today, you know, you can't do the same thing with a cell phone because your head doesn't tilt over that far. It's like really thin, you know. I don't know. Well, maybe you got one of those new gadgets for Christmas that holds the phone right there. But, you know, that's how God wants us. He wants us to get on the line, get on the line first thing in the morning and stay on the line all day. You put that phone there and just kind of keep on doing what you're doing. But speak with God. Remember our Creator throughout the day in prayer. It's important. My pastor told me years ago, he said, Jeff, it's important as a pastor that you live a life that is clean enough that if someone calls you, no matter what time, and they say, can you pray for me, that you can immediately pray for them. He says, you don't have time as a pastor or even as a Christian to get everything right with God to pray about an emergency situation. And that stuck with me for years. Let me ask you, are you able to pray for someone that needs it immediately? Or are there things in your life that you have to, why not go ahead and remember our Creator in prayer right now? And just simply say, God, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you have my heart right now. Remember Him during our days. Remember Him all of our days. Look at it in verse number 2. The Bible says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened or the clouds return after the rain. He says, don't wait till it's too late. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now he begins to use some words here that are a little weird. You begin to look at him and think, what does that mean? And so he's keepers of the house, the arms and the hands. He's making references to the human body and the body as it dies. And what happens is our arms and our hands begin to tremble as we get older. We begin to shake. Old age creeps in. He notices, it says here, and the strong men shall bow themselves, or our legs and our thighs shall begin to bow. And then notice it says, and the grinders cease because they are few. Well, what are grinders? Teeth. As you get older, your teeth fall out. Unless you're from Alabama and you only had one to begin with. But still, teeth. That's the reason why we know that the toothbrush, if it was invented in one of those states, like Alabama or Kentucky, if it had been invented anywhere else, it'd been called a teeth brush. Some of you guys will get it. While I'm on that, let me say this. I drove by the ATM the other day at my bank, and I saw a man standing there on one leg. And I thought, what is he doing? So I stopped, and I pulled over and said, hey, what are you doing standing on one leg? He said, I'm checking my balance. Okay, I'm finished. I'm sorry. That's all. That's all that I have for you. And then notice what he says. The grinders cease because they are few. You begin to lose those things that you were so used to. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Listen, how many of you, you have found the older you got, the less you like driving at night? Because oftentimes it's just kind of like, well, I hope that there's not a car there. Especially with these new bright lights that cars have. I like it when my car has bright lights on it, but I don't like it when everybody else's lights are bright. Especially whenever it's snowing and raining and fog. It's like, well, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I was reading an article the other day, and a man said, whenever you can't see ahead of you, he said, you just find the line on the side of the road and just kind of follow that. Well, most of the roads around here don't have lines on the middle or the side of the road. I don't know what we're going to do. Just thump, 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 thump. Oh, off the road again. Except for right now, in this kind of weather, you run off the side of the road and it's like thump, thump, thump. Because it's boggy on the side of the road. You know what happens? The older we get, the windows are light. The lights, our eyes begin to dim. You know what Solomon's saying? When you're young, give your heart to God before it's too late. The greatest thing a young person can ever do is get saved. The second greatest thing a young person can do is give their life to Jesus. Oh, there's so many in this room today that got saved at a young age, and they can tell you how God has blessed them throughout their life. Remember Him. Remember Him in our priorities. Verse number 8, the Word of God says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. He says, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people, yea, gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Solomon wrote much of the book of Proverbs. And the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. He said, the words of the wise are as goads. The word goad there is like a sharpened stake, a sharpened stick that whenever you were driving an ox, if he slowed down, you'd kind of poke him with that. So the words of the wise will poke us, will move us along. As nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. I underlined that phrase, one shepherd, and I thought, I'm going to look that up later on. Verse number 12, many young people will understand this verse. It says, Father, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. There are always new books out there, always new writings out there. But then notice the next thing, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Young people are like, I don't like doing homework. My brain is tired. I don't like it. I remember whenever I was young, and my teacher would give me homework, which was pretty much every day. And I thought, I hate homework. You know, schoolwork ought to be schoolwork done at school. And we ought not have to take anything home from school. School should be separate from home. My teachers disagreed with that. And then later on, I became a teacher. And I realized how fun it was to give homework. I thought, no wonder they gave homework. Because I love to see teenagers cry. They do. They cry and whine. Oh, whatever. Get over it. Come on. And it's just like whenever they graduate, I want to tell them, welcome to the easiest thing you've ever done in your life. Just wait. Just wait. And all God's people said, amen. But remember your Creator. Oh, if we could tell our young people this, us older folks, if we could tell you something that you need to know, remember God while you're young. Live for God while you're young. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. In verse number 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Not only do we need to remember our Creator, We need to recognize our duty. What's our duty? What are we supposed to do? Of course, he says, let us hear the conclusion. And conclusion is the close of an argument, debate, or reasoning. It is an end of the discussion. He says, what do you need to do? Fear God. Just fear God. The fear of the Lord. I put a definition there, Amber. I don't know if it's going to click up or not. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if I don't fear God, then that's the beginning of ignorance. The fear of the Lord is this. It is a constant awareness of God's presence and my accountability to Him for my actions. The fear of the Lord is this. It is a constant awareness of God's presence. If you're a Christian today, God's presence is in your life. If you're not a Christian, God's presence is outside of your life, but it's still there. As a believer, as a Christian, we will be accountable to Him for our actions, what we do and what we say. The Bible says, blessed be the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His countenance. The fear of the Lord is the work of the Spirit in the heart of a saved man. If we don't fear or reverence God, the truth of the matter is we won't keep His commandments. By mercy and truth, or iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Why don't we not do that? I had a man ask me one time, well, why don't you do that? I fear God. So when we teach our children to fear God, our children ought to understand that God is constantly aware of, or constantly in their presence. They are constantly in His presence. And one day they're going to give an account for what they do and say. I read a story about a father who was so pleased. One time they were riding down the road and this little boy asked him, he said, Dad, how do you spell God? Dad said, G-O-D. And the boy said, thank you. And he said, Dad, how do you spell Zilla? You'll get it in a minute. Dad's like, I failed somehow. We fear God. Notice what else he says. He says, fear God and keep His commandments. What are the commandments of God? He said, well, the Ten Commandments. Somebody came to Jesus and asked Him, said, Master, which is a great commandment. They thought they were going to trick Him up. You know what He said? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And He said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. You want to keep the commandments of God? How do you do that? You love God. And you love others like Jesus loved you. The greatest commandment of God is to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. My senior year in high school, I kept the greatest commandment. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. 1985. Remember your Creator. Recognize your duty. And then verse number 13 tells us that we have an appointment to keep. Realize our appointment with God. You'll keep this appointment. Everyone in this room will keep this appointment. This is not an appointment that you can shirk off. This is not an appointment that you can say, oh no, I forgot. No, don't worry. God's the one that's got it marked on His calendar. And He'll not forget it. Verse number 14, notice this. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. If we believe we'll see God at the end of this life, then we'll live 2023 with a purpose. For those without Jesus Christ as our Savior, this judgment that Solomon talked about is what the New Testament calls the Great White Throne Judgment. The book of the Revelation says this, and I saw a great white throne, Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And you realize that these are unsaved people. These are people that died without trusting Jesus as their Savior. Their names are not in the book of life. And then the Revelation goes on and says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's an appointment coming for lost people. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're a church member. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized. Remember, it doesn't matter about any of that. Here's the question. When did you trust Jesus as your Savior? You may not remember the exact date, but you need to remember the event. When did you do that? Not your baptism, not your church. When did you place your faith in Jesus Christ? If not, that's the judgment you'll face. That's a horrible judgment. Because you don't have to go there. Jesus did everything to keep you from going to hell. But there's also a judgment for those that know Jesus as their Savior. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. As a Christian, I'll not have to stand before God and give an account for my sin. That was paid for on the cross. In 1985, when I trusted Jesus, my Savior, he took the payment for all of my sins. All of my sins I had committed up to that point, and all of the sins I've committed after that point. He paid for all of them, and all God's people said, amen. But you know what? Ever since that day, he's expected me to live for him. He's empowered me to live for him, and there have been days and weeks and months and probably even years that I didn't. You know what? One day I'm going to have to stand before him and give an account. And there are some rewards that I'm going to lose. I'm not going to lose my salvation, but I'm going to lose some rewards. Things that could have been different. Not a person in this room today can look back and say, boy, everything, I've always done exactly what God wanted me to do. Every one of us in this room have some times in our lives that we can say, I'll give an account for that. But you know what? I can still live for him today. I don't have to let something that happened in the past determine how I live the rest of my life. You know why? Because once I ask for forgiveness of that, and I ask God to cleanse me from that, and if it was a person that sinned or did something against me, and I just go ahead and forgive them and move forward, it's amazing what God can do in my life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, I'm going to have an appointment with God. I hope it's going to happen. In fact, I know it's going. There's going to be a lot more happiness in that appointment than there is unhappiness. Let me ask you today. Will your new year, will this new year be filled with vanity, emptiness, and empty pleasures, or purpose? Remember your Creator. Remember your duty. Fear God, keep His commandments. Realizing at the back of your mind that we have an appointment that we're going to keep. God, help us to live for Him this year. Remember now thy Creator. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. There's a lot that can happen between those two who live for Him. I was born in 1966. I don't have a headstone yet. I think that's a little weird. People have headstones with their names not on it. But that's fine. If you want to do that, that's great, I guess. But you put the beginning date, 1966. And I don't know when the Lord's going to take me home. But every headstone you see, there's a birth date. And then whenever they die, there's a death date. But in between that is a line, a dash, if you will. What am I going to do with that dash? During that line between my birth and between my death, what am I going to do with that? There's a promise, there's a hope that I can live for Him. There's a longing in my soul that the happiest place on earth can't fulfill. Nothing wrong with it, enjoying those times, but realize that's not all there is to it. We need to wake up every day and say, okay, God, today is your day. I'm going to live for you. And you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. Heads bowed.